Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Partnership Program, our guests today, Susan Wertheim and Harry Cooper, will be presenting their wide-ranging subjects and expertise on the Smithsonian National Gallery of Art East Building renovation that took place over the last 3 years and then opened just this last September. If you know this building, you know it because its architect, I.M. Pei, is world-renowned, and the building reflects his style, sense, and design. Plus, the building, and on its new terrace, sits a huge, beautiful blue rooster. Yeah, you heard me correctly. A big blue rooster. The Washington Post said,
although individually subtle, the changes to the East Building and the permanent collection together create a powerful new experience for visitors.
On May 22nd in Washington, D.C. at the Ripley Center, Susan Wertheim, Harry Cooper, and Mark Lighthizer will present on this fascinating building, its housed modern art, the Blue Rooster, and much more. For ticket information, please check our website, notoldbetter.com, or at smithsonianassociates.org. I'm joined today by Susan Wertheim and Harry Cooper. Unable to join us by phone today, but will be attending the presentation on May 22nd, is Mark Lighthouse. But please join me in welcoming Susan and Harry to the show today. Well, Harry Cooper and Susan Wertheim, thanks so much for joining the program today. I really appreciate it.
Nice to be here.
Glad to do this.
It really is a pleasure to talk to you. This is an exciting subject. I mean, many people can look at galleries and renovations, and there's an awful lot of those kinds of things going on in our wonderful city of Washington, D.C. But this is a special one, talking about the National Gallery of Art's new renovation of the East Building. Harry Cooper, Susan Wertheim, I wonder if you guys could each take a moment and introduce yourselves quickly, and then talk about your role with the renovation of the East Building.
Sure. So, Harry Cooper here. I am the curator of modern art and head of that department at the National Gallery. And I got to the gallery about 9 years ago and soon realized that we were going to have this wonderful opportunity. Wonderful for me, because curators normally don't get to reinstall an entire collection, an entire building, and so that was a dream come true, and even better, getting to work with designers, architects, for me, learning a lot about those trades, really, and what it takes to renovate and expand a building, and then how the art fits in, which we kept talking about really throughout the process, which was very important part of it.
And that's a fascinating subject, and I definitely want to get back to that. But Susan, this seems like a great place for you to jump in and introduce yourself too.
Paul, I'm Susan Wertheim. I'm the gallery's chief architect, and I have been working here almost 20 years. I actually broke into the museum design and construction business at the Smithsonian, so the presentation we'll be giving on the 22nd is kind of going home. For this project, this project was basically bringing together a lot of other work that we have been doing at the gallery. The project that just reopened in 2016 really gave us a way to go from behind the scenes to something the public would be able to see as an expansion. So we expanded within the envelope.
And we're talking about the East Building. We're talking about I.M. Pei's beautiful architecture. This is a building with dramatic angles, with sleek, beautiful lines. It's iconic. Time magazine referred to it as a masterpiece on the mall. When you started down this approach to the renovation, what kind of thoughts were going on, Susan, as you were thinking about, my gosh, we're going to be renovating an I.M. Pei building?
Well, actually, that's an interesting topic, because some of my job, I feel like, is editing and making sure we don't overdo things. Designers tend to want to put their imprint project. We weren't overly zealous, and we had a healthy amount of respect for the building. We had always consulted with IMPAE directly. He just had his 100th birthday on April 26th. So this project started when Mr. Pei was in his early 90s, and we actually did call him. And I think he realized at that age that he should turn it over to someone who could do the travel and consult with us here at the building.
We're with Harry Cooper and Susan Wertheim. Both are presenting at the National Gallery of Art's Renovated East Building Program, May 22nd, 2017, at the Ripley Center. It's going to be a pleasure to see and hear from both of you there. I definitely will be there. I encourage my audience to check this out. We'll put links up to where you can get tickets. But I think this program is really going to be a fascinating one. And I want to get back to this IMPAE, this masterpiece on the mall subject. Let's talk a little bit about this renovation that took place. And a quote that I read from you, Susan, that I thought was so great is, your work on the renovation really, quote, unleashed the building's potential, unquote. What happened during the renovation that really made that possible and brought that about?
Really, the key to unlocking the building's potential was this idea of movement and movement through the building and upward movement, meaning we wanted to encourage people to climb the building again, which was something that IMPAE had in mind with the main atrium where the Calder Mobile is. So we wanted people to climb up in the building, explore the upper levels, and get to these new tower levels. So we made the building more accessible. And then in addition, we wanted to take advantage of light, so daylight, and particularly skylit galleries. So we already had one tower gallery.
I think one thing to help people visualize this is that we expanded within the envelope. So the gallery part of the building is a triangle, and there are towers on each corner, but only one of them had been originally developed as a gallery. And that's where I had started this program of changing exhibitions, project space, if you will. The other two towers were there, sticking up above the roof line, but they were basically empty spaces. Light filtered down through them to lower galleries, which is what happened, and then the terrace in between, giving us more than 12,000 square feet, which on the mall is a lot because space is precious. And that, I think, is the big story. That's probably the headline of the whole renovation, these two new towers and roof terrace.
And I actually like to, when people walk through with me or people are new to the building, I like to explain to them that when they get up to what's called the tower level along Pennsylvania Avenue, where the roof terrace connects these two tower galleries, when they get up there, I say that the floor they're standing on in the galleries was originally this glass laylight ceiling. It was just a piece of glass suspended an attic. And the idea that IMPAE had originally was that it could be moved up and down if you wanted to install very tall works of art. But that was kind of difficult to do, and we hadn't really done it to great advantage.
So kind of a mechanized, it's almost something that was mechanical, that was a sunroof on some form of motor.
There were like hundreds of bolted connections that you would have to go up and take down every piece of glass with the frame. It was not too high tech. And that basically just bridged across at that level and allowed people to move back and forth and get outside, which was also, that's a fairly unusual thing to do in the middle of an art gallery.
Yeah.
The terrace gets a lot of attention. And so let's go there. Let's talk a little bit about that terrace. There is an interesting installation. I'll refer to that. I'll leave it open, and I'll let you both talk about this very interesting installation. And how long that's going to be there, and maybe Harry, start with the art part of it, and then Susan, I'd love to hear a little bit more about kind of the installation process.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. What bird? There. I think it has become a kind of logo for us. Extremely popular, well-deserved, wonderful sculpture, and it really came out of the blue. Sorry about that pun. As an offer from Glenstone, which is a very important museum and collection of contemporary art in right nearby in Potomac, Maryland. I think in a way it's just what the building needed. It has certainly the scale needed up there with this grand sort of mountainscape of I.M. Pei's building. And yet it's also a great relief, even a comic relief in some ways, a bit of surrealism maybe, this wonderfully detailed, deeply, intensely blue rooster. And nobody really knows what it means, which is great. That's true with a lot of art. But everyone has ideas and just loves to see it, be seen with it. And that blast of color, I think, was very important, too, for the building there. So we hope it stays there a long time. It's a long-term loan. And it was interesting to get it up there and install it.
The interesting thing with the Katharina Fritsch Hancock is that we were completely ready for putting heavy works of art, heavy sculptures, and the weight loads of those sculptures on the terrace. So the team and at the gallery and the whole design team and construction team had done a lot to reinforce the roof terrace so that it could take people, the granite paving that we added, and the works of art. So we were all set for heavy. And the ironic thing is that we actually did move up two Scott Burton settees that combined weighed 11,000 pounds, and we didn't have to do a thing to be ready except crane them into place. But with this rooster, design-wise, we actually had to ballast it to hold it down.
Make it heavier so it wouldn't...
Right. It was too light, and... structurally, you have to pay attention to wind load and make sure. So this rooster was German engineered inside. I mean, nobody sees this, but the fact that it just looks like it landed on the roof, its feet are sitting perfectly on this roof. And also when we present the project at the Smithsonian, I am going to have a sequence of slides that sort of shows what lies beneath the surface, because this I.M. Pei building, and this is true of every part of it, it is so, it looks so simple and so elegant and so sleek, and it's really what lies beneath the surface that is highly complex. So one of my themes is simplicity is complicated, and I will be showing what is underneath that kind of clean, triangulated plane of granite on the roof, and what we have, you know, sort of
full of bricks and mortar,
right,
and concrete.
All the engineering that kind of goes into it. Not that I want to detract from the art, because that's the whole idea, is the building's, you know, the building, it's very expressive, but it is a backdrop, and I mean, it's the venue, but it's there for the works of art. And I think that's something that I'm hoping Harry can talk about, because I think one of the things that changed so much with this reinstallation and renovation is that the building and the works of art are in sync, and they're in balance, and they're not they're reinforcing each other.
I mean, the tower is certainly the tower level is the main story. We talked about the terrace, and then on either side of the terrace are the tower, the new tower galleries, one devoted to Alexander Calder, really a major installation, complete survey of his work in all media and all decades, much of it borrowed from the Calder Foundation in New York, and a little more of it belonging to the gallery. So that's some nice fireworks there, and you know, sort of a dazzling, engaging spectacle. The other tower we divided up between two of our iconic mid-century American painters, Mark Rothko and Barnett Newman, in a very different presentation. That tower we kept very simple. And one of the things I like about these towers is that you really feel the IMP geometry in the towers, because they haven't been divided up by temporary walls the way many of our other galleries are. So you feel that purity of those angles in the Newman and Calder Tower, Newman and Rothko Tower. Calder on the one hand, Newman and Rothko on the other hand, but I really hope that people will not just go up to the towers and then back down and out. The nice thing about the fact that they're towers is you have to get to them, and yes, you can take an elevator straight up, but you can also climb the stairs, and wonderful new basically top to bottom stairs in each of those two towers. So don't miss it. that's my message there. You can start on the mezzanine at 1900 with Matisse and Picasso and go basically all the way up to, minimalism and then the artists in the tower and contemporary art as well.
And one more topic that I need to add is about the public-private partnership and the gallery's legacy with using actually private funds for our niceties and federal funds for our necessities. And this gets back to how the National Gallery is a little bit different, because both of our buildings and the works of art were donated to the people of the United States. So the gallery just passed 75 years, and that was with Andrew Mellon's original gift. So the building was built and then given after it was completed.
Well, this is just a fascinating subject, and I'm so grateful that we've had a chance to come together this day and talk a little bit about it in anticipation of you, Harry Cooper, and you, Susan Wertheim, joining Mark Lighthouser on May 22nd at the Ripley Center. And Mark Lighthouser, Harry Cooper, Susan Wertheim are going to be talking about the National Gallery's National Gallery of Art's renovated East Building, creating this wonderful, powerful new experience for visitors. And I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing more from you. Of course, you can check out the website for additional details, where to get tickets via the Smithsonian Associates site. But Susan, Harry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
You bet.